You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
The construction sector in South Africa was placed in ICU during COVID-19 following years in high care, frankly, since the 2010 World Cup. There were issues over transformation, local procurement, construction mafia, cartel accusations, and a stagnant economy to boot. It's been slow drip poison for the once mighty sector. And judging by the Afrimat Construction Index for the first quarter of 2020, things are not getting any better. Dr. Roelof Botha, who compiles the index, is on the line. Good evening, Dr. Botha.
Good evening.
Now, the ACI is a composite index of the level of activity within the building and construction sectors, and the trend of the ACI, as measured by the four-quarter moving average, has declined by 14.5% from its peak recorded in the first quarter of 2017. And the index itself declined more than 27% from its highest level recorded in the fourth quarter of 2016. What are the key reasons here behind this seemingly terminal decline in the index?
Well, if we look at some of the individual indicators included in the composite index, the biggest shock was the dramatic decline by almost 30% in the value of new building plans passed by the metros and the larger municipalities in South Africa. This is a huge point of concern because this is a leading indicator of future construction activity, obviously. And it tells you that either there are huge bureaucratic delays at some of these municipalities in getting through the regulations, and probably a combination of that and fewer development projects coming online. And that, of course, is partly due to the ongoing lack of confidence, the general lethargic economic growth of the last couple of years, almost a bit of a hangover of the Zumanomics era, yeah, where we've been promised a new growth strategy, etc. But it's a lot of talk and not enough action.
It is a sad state of affairs. And just last night, I was chatting to the MMC of the Ekurhuleni local metro, one of the big metros in the country, one of the eight big metros. And they're slashing their CapEx budget by just over 2 billion rand for this financial. So it shows you, and this is in response to COVID-19 and cost cutting all over the place. It's also why President Ramaphosa's long-awaited sustainable infrastructure development symposium is so important. And we were hoping to see 55 infrastructure projects gazetted this week. I certainly haven't seen it. I may have missed it, but it hasn't come across my desk. But I've been pretty optimistic about the process and the extent to which a proper infrastructure drive could lay the foundations for future growth and obviously provide the sort of catalyst that the construction industry so sorely needs. I was chatting to the CEO of Barloworld earlier this week, Dominique Sewela. He said he'll believe it when he sees it. He's rather cynical. We've heard it before from government. What do you feel is potentially different this time around with government's promised infrastructure spending?
Yes, in fact, you also spoke to Afrinet's CEO, Andries van Heerden, not long ago. And I want to quote him. He's quite positive about the impact, I think. We will get more details very soon. They won't make those type of announcements, you know, if it's not going to materialize. And the beauty of this is there's no direct fiscal involvement. There will be indirectly, of course, because they've promised that the bulk infrastructure will be in place, especially for some of the projects that deal with housing, etc. The big difference, of course, is that a new government has been formed, so to speak. We've got a new cabinet. We've got a new president. Well, relatively new. It's going on a little while. And, of course, we've got the new growth plan that was designed by National Treasury, which is the National Development Plan light, if you may call it. And that was put on the shelf by President Zuma for a decade almost. It's been dusted off, and slowly but surely, I think we'll see some implementation. My big fear is that I'm not 100% sure whether there's consensus in the cabinet about the urgency to, in fact, get rid of the regulatory obstacles to growth, which include the inordinate power that trade unions have over the formulation of economic policy. But I'm quite confident that the infrastructure spend that now has been promised, and we should have the details within the next couple of days, combined with a low interest rate scenario, which is very important, that this will see a dramatic rebound of the Afrimat Index in the third quarter of this year.
And I want to echo that point on the interest rate. In fact, I've got Professor Brian Cantor coming up a little bit later on in the show, And he's been quite scathing on the Reserve Bank being behind the curve when it comes to lowering the interest rate and the hurdle rate that that creates for business to invest, because it increases that hurdle rate in terms of the cost of capital and makes gross fixed capital formation, which you've alluded to and has fallen certainly off a cliff, that much harder to achieve when you've got such high interest rates structurally. And we're starting to see that come down. Do you think there's scope for still further cuts, considering the quite aggressive cutting that we've seen so far already this year?
Yes, I do believe there's scope for at least another 50 points. But as you've indicated, and I agree with Brian 100%. I've been calling, as you probably know, calling for a 200 basis point reduction long before COVID hit us, because of a structural demand deficiency in South Africa's economy, and why the Reserve Bank chose to increase the cost of capital as measured by the real prime rate by 100% after Jill Marcus's retirement is still absolutely beyond me. And I got my 200%, my 200 basis points, by the way, but for the wrong reasons, and another 75 on top of that. I think it is so crucial for the Reserve Bank to just ditch this hawkish approach and to send a clear message out there that low interest rates will be here to stay for a considerable period of time, because that would undoubtedly act as a catalyst and a driver of future growth for the construction sector. There's no doubt about that whatsoever.
Dr. Roelof Botha, who compiles the AfriMac Construction Index, wading into what we need to see to further stimulate construction as that great flywheel for the economy. And we eagerly await to see those 55 projects gazetted soon.